So we've been studying Proverbs in the morning class, and really that morning class was developed from the church survey, the survey we've done. And so we've tried to hit on some of the topics that came out of that survey. Well, we're still in Proverbs this morning. This is what the lesson would have been this morning, and Matt has graciously taken and done something else this morning in the Bible study. So we're going to talk about some of this idea of striving and enduring and being accountable. And we're going to use Proverbs here as iron sharpens iron, right? So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I know there are folks that are in here that have joined the military, have been in the military, and I use a lot of that example from my life because I spent like 40 years of it, right? And so when I became an officer, I didn't know what to do, what to be, how to act. Fortunately, they sent me to a school, and that school made me do lots of things. Like in the middle of December, breaking the ice of a mud puddle with my nose while I'm doing push-ups just to discipline and make me conform to the thing they wanted me to be, right? Doesn't make sense. But they hardened us, that training. We as Christians need to be hardened, forged, if you will, created into swords to go out into the world, to be prepared for battle. Iron sharpens iron. If I go out into battle with a dull sword, my blows are ineffective. They are, right? They'll bounce off anybody else's armor. I have to sharpen that sword. How do we do that? We do that through accountability. We start with accountability. If I profess to be a soldier in an organization, then I have fellow soldiers who watch after me, who watch and make sure that I'm doing and following the right path, right? Staying within the confines of the regulations or what have you. To do that, I need to have a relationship with my fellow soldiers. A relationship must be secure enough to survive being hurt. Right? If I have a relationship with you and it's cursory and you tell me, hey, Mike, you're not doing something right. Hey, soldier, you're not on the right path. I'm going to look at you and go, well, who are you? Who are you to tell me what I'm doing, what I'm not doing? I don't have a relationship with you. If you say something that hurts me, it's easy to go, okay, see ya. But if I have a relationship with you that is deep and not cursory, then when you hurt me, I survive. And our relationship survives. And that's what fellow Christians are supposed to be doing, right? That's how we're supposed to be engaged with one another. A relationship so secure that if you come to me and say, hey, you're an idiot, let's fix this, I go, you know what? Okay, I'm an idiot, let's fix this, right? When we work out with someone, when we go to the gym, isn't it better they're encouraging us, right? They sit there and, come on, get 10 more pounds. You can do it. Get one more rep. You can do it. When I go to the gym by myself, man, that's a little heavy. You know, I don't think I want to get there. I think I'm just going to go, 10 pounds lighter, maybe. Our relationships encourage us to be better and greater than what we can be. And our workout partners help us to be strong in the effort. Accountability helps us remain focused on our goal of heaven. James 5 and 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We hold each other to the standard of God's word, conviction, confessing our sins one to another. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help up the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one there to help them. We are not an island. We are not. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. True friendships hold each other accountable even when it's uncomfortable. We need to have someone we trust to be able to not worry about hurting our feelings and to get to the truth. Whether it's a husband, a friend, a wife, a son, someone who can say to us point blank, stop it. And if you don't have those relationships, then you are an island and you will lose yourself. We sharpen ourselves through striving and endurance, right? The writer in Philippians says, I don't consider that I've been there. I don't consider that I've got there already. I got to keep going. I got to keep striving. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Those who run a marathon. Anyone in here ever run a marathon? If you're not prepared, I'll give you an example. I did a marathon in Budapest, Hungary. I had been preparing for it because I wanted to get out of the base that the army put me in, the walls. And so we took a couple guys with us who were MPs that hadn't been preparing, hadn't been running, and they decided we want out of the wall too. So we're just going to go use this as a reason to get out of the wall. And they ran a marathon. Heavy set. The next day, they could not get out of bed. They were not prepared. So if we're going to strive for something, we need to have a desire to do it, prepare to do it. We have to be willing to take the risk to do it. We have to swallow our fear. We have to execute. And then we have to think about recovery, right? Those things that we are striving to do, we have to get out of our own way to do. To strive for something is to desire it and take the risk to do it. We want to strive for heaven. And we would like for it to look like this, right? We would like for it to just be this straight goal, this thing that we're going to get there whenever we start in our 80 years. We want to strive for heaven. Unfortunately, some of us do this. Right? Take heed where you stand, lest you fall. Others of us do this. Lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, Revelation 3, right? This idea of apathy. We just stop. The truth is, we do this. If we're still striving, we're going to have rocks in the road. We're going to have problems. And what happens during those dips and valleys, right? What happens? When we're at our highs, we need to be prepared to support. When we're at our lows, we need support. Right? What is this? Sin? Depression? We need help. And if we haven't developed those relationships, that accountability relationship or any relationship, no one's going to be there for us because we've left ourselves as an island. We need to overcome challenges. How do we overcome challenges? With our relationships, right? With each other. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, right? He has to endure, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him, right? I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also those who have loved his appearance. We need to recognize the struggles, our struggles, as opportunities for growth. We need to lean on our fellow believers for support and encouragement. And you know what? This is one of the hardest things for me. It is. I have a tendency, because of my introverted nature, to be an island, and I know I'm not supposed to be that. I know. I think 40 years of military service, I got this. I can do this. And it's not true. It's just not. We can't quit. 1 Peter 3 and 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Pursue it. I can't quit. And Paul writing to Timothy, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed according to the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. And 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We have to continue the fight. If we get apathetic, then we don't grow. We don't rise to that point that we're trying to get to heaven, to God, to faith, to strength. We don't. We just sit here and do nothing. That's not what we're called to do. Love. We sharpen each other. We sharpen our sword through the act of love for one another. It is a foundation of our faith. Love is the base level, the foundation of our faith. If we don't love, if we don't care, if we're apathetic, then anything else we do is just work. It's just obligation. Love inspires us to strive harder for our heavenly goal. When we are cared for legitimately, when we feel that care and believe that care, then we are strengthened. Unfortunately, many Christians only seem to care cursorily. They're not engaged. Or only care when it's convenient. Or only care when they get value out of the relationship. That's not legitimate caring. That's not legitimate love. My love for you and for you needs to be without expectation, because it's the base level of who I'm supposed to be. It's the base level of what God calls me to be. We strengthen ourselves, we sharpen our sword through Scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell. Live. Breathe. Have its existence in you. Let it transform you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be what? Be complete, be perfect, full, mature, complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work, a sharpened sword. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. If I allow Scripture to dwell in me, to have its life in me, to let it be me, then I will stay from sin, right? I will be an example. People will see it. I mean, does that make sense? To let Scripture live in us, to have a life in us, I fail at this. The things of the world get in my way. Work. Family. Those things that eat into my time. We all fail. Scripture should motivate us to hone ourselves to be sharper and to be prepared for the enemies about us, to be protected and protective of each other, of our relationships, of the life that God has given us. The role of prayer. Prayer does what? It does multiple things. It seeks help from God for our struggles. And it's effective. But it does something else. It focuses us, especially us guys with ADD. It focuses us inwardly to make sure that I am outwardly portraying who I'm supposed to be. Prayer gives me internal focus to be the thing that I need to be and to self-evaluate who I am in relationship to God. And by doing so, I hone my spirit, which then becomes an example to the world of what a sharpened sword looks like, of what a godly individual looks like. Love is the base. Relationship is the support network, right? No man is an island. Natalie said it best kind of this morning. She goes, the lifetime goal is getting to heaven and being with God and its family and his family, right? That's the lifetime goal. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. I want you to have a crown of life. I want all of us to have a crown of life. The only way we're going to get there is using that base layer of love, supporting one another to greater and greater heights, lifting heavier and heavier weights to get there. I can't go to the gym by myself and expect to make great gains because I need the encouragement. I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe you can go to the gym by yourself and make some gains. But you know that if you have someone there helping you and you have someone there pushing you and striving, you're going to be better than you are by yourself. You are. That's why you should be here Sunday mornings. That's why you should be here Wednesday evenings. That's why you should be together sometime outside of that. It's why we should be together. Because I need you. I need you. We all need each other. Without that relationship, without that love, that closeness, that established bond, we're out there flapping in the breeze like a flag. So then what? Then what? The call to you and to me is to live a life for God. If you haven't started that, you can. You start today. You start today, right here, right? It's a little cold. It's a little cold, but that's okay. You can start. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, namely baptism, doth now also save us. There's a bucket. Baptism's in it. Hope is in it. Love is in it. Scripture is in it. Faith is in it. And in that bucket is salvation. All of it together. But the beginning is right there in that water. If you're subject to the call, if you want the bond of relationship with fellow Christians who help you get to that ultimate goal of being in heaven, why don't you come forward? Come forward as we stand and as we sing.